I'm the goth one, Lady Lily.
And I'm the cute one, Lady Dahlia.
And we are two best friends with nothing and everything in common.
And we are here to spill the tea.
And welcome to Spilling the Tea
with the ladies.
Happy July 20th, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Spilling the Tea with the Ladies. I am Lady Lily.
And I am Lady Dahlia, and we are going to be covering a lot of fun topics this week. But before we get started, how was your week, Lily?
It was really good. Still kind of keeping up with the situation here in Texas, which we're going to get into here shortly. But other than that, had a pretty decent week. Just lots of work, you know, dealing with the cats and the husband, and that's about it. What about you?
I've also had a pretty busy week. This weekend we've done a lot of stuff, and then this week leading up to that was just mostly dealing with the boutique that I own and kids stuff, all of that, you know, how the summer goes with trying to keep everybody busy. So yeah, yesterday we did this all day festival in a nearby town, and it was just like all these fun things to do, like games, music, all the things. So we were there all day. So of course today I'm exhausted, and then I'm going to do another one today. So should be interesting.
Sometimes I don't know how you do it, but let's get into this. So our first topic this week, even though it is a little late in the game, since, you know, we're just starting this podcast now, we still feel the need that we need to talk about this, but the flooding in Texas. So by now, I'm sure everybody knows about what's been going on in Texas. I actually live in the state of Texas. Miss Dahlia here does not. She lives in the state of Washington. So that being said, it's been a rough couple of weeks since the flooding first occurred. You know, we have over 100 deaths. Still, some people are still missing. And this flooding took place over central Texas, north of San Antonio, around the Kerr County area, where the city of Kerrville was hit the hardest. And I actually live in central Texas as well, but not quite in that area. When you say central Texas, it's huge. But we did also experience our own kind of flooding here too. So a little scary, a little horrible. But we wanted to bring this up because we wanted to make sure if anybody wants to donate, please check out Google. There's lots of places you could donate, such as the Kerr County Flood Relief Fund, the San Angelo Area Foundation Disaster Relief Fund, lots of different resources you can go to if you want to help out. So they are still needing help.
Yes. Anything, you know, is helpful at this time. Just make sure, like, whatever resources that you are looking into is legit and not spamming you, because of course there are awful people out there who are putting those out. So, you know, when you are looking to donate money, make sure that it's a reputable source, and you know, all help is appreciated. So besides that, Lily, there are some other major issues with this, correct?
Absolutely. And they've just come to be worse and worse as the weeks have gone on. But the thing that I definitely wanted to talk about is I don't understand how certain people in this world can be so absolutely disgusting when a tragedy like this has occurred, because this is the biggest one, and this has gone absolutely viral. A woman by the name of Sadie Perkins, and she literally lives in the Houston area, and she had posted about this just days after this tragedy occurred, where she basically said that these little white girls, these little rich white girls, deserved what they got because of who their parents probably voted for and the fact that they're white. So I don't want to give this woman any more attention than she's already gotten, but it's worth mentioning because I don't understand how this is even a topic of conversation for anybody. Like, what kind of a horrible person are you to say something like that? But I will say she was fired from her job. She was, I guess she was working for the city of Houston, and the mayor of Houston actually fired her right away. And her TikTok got banned. So she's actually had a lot of flack for this, thank goodness. But even after all of that, she's still doubling down and saying she doesn't regret a single thing she said. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Surprisingly, I have not. I'm on TikTok and, I'm kind of seeing what's happening. I see a lot of what's going on, current events, those sort of things, but I have not seen anything about this woman. So that's actually surprising to me because this is like really like a huge deal, somebody saying something like that and then also having some sort of like position where they are in front of the public constantly. So that's crazy to me and also absolutely just sad and disgusting because as a parent, like that, like if I had lost any of my children and I heard something like that, I would be absolutely livid. Like, who are you to say something like that? You don't even know who these girls were, what their position in this world was, like anything like that. So I think it's just really horrible that somebody would take it upon themselves to say things like that. I don't know. It's just really odd.
I completely agree. And when I saw that, I was absolutely disgusted. And I'm glad that this woman has gotten pretty much what she deserves because, I always like to say, have the day you deserve. And she is a prime example of that. But let us move on because we have a lot more fun topics to talk about. So let's just leave that in the dust. Hopefully everything settles over here. But again, any donations are definitely appreciated for the Texas flood, so definitely look into that. But
Let's talk about Ozzy Osbourne's farewell show titled Back to the Beginning. Now, I didn't catch a whole lot of this, Lily, but you said you watched some of it, right?
oh yes, I absolutely did. Unfortunately, I didn't watch as much as I would have liked to. But I have to mention, first, let's go through all the performers because this was a huge show for Ozzy and he had a lot of people come and support him and everything like that. So pretty cool to have all of these artists together. So I'm just going to go through the list. I might miss some, but let's go through it. So we have Mastin, Rival Sons, Anthrax, Hailstorm, Lamb of God, Tom Morello's All-Stars, which include Nuno Bettencourt, Mike Bordin, David Ellefson, Lizzie Hale, Jakey Lee, Adam Wakeman, David Draiman, Scott Ian, Frank Bello, Wojtfeld Crane, Sleep Token's Drummer 2, Youngblood, Yoyoko Soma, Billy Corgan, KK Downing, Adam Jones, Sammy Hagar, Vernon Reid, Papa Five from Ghost, Steven Tyler, Andrew Watt, and Ronnie Wood. Then he had Jack Black, Alice in Chains, Gojira, Drum Off with Travis Barker and Chad Smith, Pantera, Tool, Slayer, Fred Durst, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and of course, Ozzy Osbourne himself and Black Sabbath. So out of all of those artists, Dahlia, who would you have liked to have seen?
Obviously Ozzy Osbourne, because I've never seen him live, so that would have been, really huge. Also Gojira would have been really cool to see too. But I mean that lineup is pretty stacked, so being there for that whole thing would have been amazing.
Yeah. And I think I would have liked to have seen Tool. I'm not a huge Tool fan, but I appreciate them for, what they do. And I am going to be bragging a bit, so I'm sorry, but I actually can say I've had the privilege of seeing Ozzy twice in my lifetime, once with Black Sabbath back in 2004 at Ozfest, and then once in 2019 with just himself at Ozfest. And both shows were absolutely amazing. So it was quite a treat to be able to see him twice. I also have to say, I would love to see Youngblood. He is such a cutie. And we'll talk about Youngblood a little bit later, but we have to talk about the show as a whole. So I didn't get to see all the performances, but I did watch Ozzy's final performance of Mama, I'm Coming Home. And I gotta tell you, I cried. I cried so hard. Because this farewell actually hits me really hard because I've been an Aussie fan since I was like 16. So it hurt a lot.
Yeah, I could imagine. Like, yeah, we've been following Ozzy and his family since you know, we were in high school, so it's kind of like an end of the era thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that goes for like a lot of artists that we've followed for so long. But yeah, I would totally see that. I'm sure if I had actually watched it too, that I would have felt the same.
Actually, it's kind of funny that we're talking about this because we watched the, as I mentioned, we watched the last performance of Mama, I'm Coming Home. And my husband always makes fun of me because even though I like a lot of newer music and stuff like that, he always says, what's with you and your dad rock? You always listen to dad rock, especially when I'm not around. And I'm like, this is the stuff I grew up on. But he actually almost cried when he watched that. He's like, it's Ozzy, though. He's an icon. So, and he actually has never seen the Osbournes. So I started making him watch the Osbournes with me. Like, literally, we've been watching so many episodes.
I love that.
Yeah, they're all.
It was such a good show.
They're all on YouTube for free. So, like, if you want some nostalgia, go watch the Osbournes. Oh my goodness, I love it. But can we talk about Youngblood for a minute? Because he did a performance too. He did the song Changes, and he did such a fabulous job. I absolutely love this guy. Have you seen any of his music videos or anything?
So I actually did watch this performance, or at least some clips of it, and it was just incredible, like so good. And I haven't really watched him as a performer, surprisingly, but I've seen lots of clips of how he interacts with his fans. And I think that that really speaks volumes about a person's character, honestly, because these are artists that, you know, they don't have to interact with anybody if they don't want to, but the ones that do go out and like actually talk to their fans and, you know, like look into their eyes and hold their hand and like they, the way that they communicate with them, like that's just so cool to see. Like they actually care about what they are creating and how it affects people. So just that in itself like makes me love him, because there are plenty of artists out there that just like perform and then go and like don't do any sort of fan type interactions. But there are definitely some people that still go out of their way to make that happen for.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one reason I actually do love Youngblood, is because he's so genuine every interaction I've seen him with. But Miss Dahlia, I gotta tell you, he did a cover of Bittersweet Symphony. And it was amazing. So when you get a chance, you got to look that up, because you are going to cry. It was so good.
Oh, I for sure will have to now.
Yeah, you'll have to see that. And then he recently released a song called Lovesick Lullaby. And for some reason, I can't get the song out of my head. I can't get the music video out of my head because it's so funny and so cute. And now it's gotten to the point where I get up in the morning and I look at my husband and I go, feel shit when I wake up, because that's how the song starts. And it's so funny. So we're, needless to say, we're becoming really big Youngblood fans in this house. Not to mention he is good friends with like Machine Gun Kelly, who I also love. So it's not that much of a stretch to love him, especially because Machine Gun Kelly is also friends with Ronnie Radke. So, you know, big, huge thing there. So, and we're going to get more into that. But before we move on from the whole Ozzy's farewell thing, which again, if you guys watch any of the clips, enjoy, because it was a very special show. I have to talk about this. The fact that Sid Wilson of Slipknot proposed to Kelly Osbourne in front of her entire family backstage at this show. And I want to bring it up because I'm going to say this to all the haters. It was cute and you know it, so shut up, okay? So many people on social media are like, well, that was supposed to be her dad's thing. Like, now they're ruining it with this engagement. Like, are you kidding me? Tell me you haven't watched the Osbournes without telling me you haven't watched the Osbournes.
And I mean, did you see like how excited he was? Like his face, like he was messing around and like, teasing or whatever, but he was so happy and just like seeing that was so cute.
Was adorable. I love how, and excuse the language to our listeners out there, but I love how before he actually proposed, you hear Ozzy in the background like, "You're not marrying my fucking daughter." It was funny. I thought it was hilarious. But
Yeah.
come on, it was a cute moment. It was so cute.
So cute. So yeah, I know this is a bit of old news. We'll talk about this, Lily. You were following the story with Ronnie Radke and Brittany Ferland. What happened there?
Oh my goodness. So, all right, so this is a bit of old news, but basically the short of it is Brittany Ferland, if you don't know, she is a influencer, became popular doing that. Personally, I didn't know who she was until I figured out, oh, it's Tommy Lee's wife. So Tommy Lee, the drummer from Motley Crue, and I'm just gonna say this, anybody that is brave enough to marry that man, I give you a little bit of credit because I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's just me. Anyways, they've been married for about 6 years, I want to say. And TMZ came out and said, oh, they're going to have a divorce because he's drinking a lot, blah, 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 whatever. Typical celebrity breakup, don't care. This would be like no big deal. But then it got weird. Because all of a sudden, she started posting about how she was dating Ronnie Radke or something like that. Something came about where she was stalking him, like going to his old house and all this stuff. So what happened was she was in communication with somebody on Snapchat claiming to be Ronnie Radke, and she thought they were literally dating. And Ronnie found out. He came out and he said, no, I've never met you in my life and I don't have a Snapchat, so that's impossible. So, and then it escalated to where Tommy Lee is like, dude, don't talk to my wife. He's like, I'm not talking to your wife. That's the whole thing. So it got really weird. It got to the point where even the FBI got involved to try to figure out who this catfish was. But I'm just gonna say this. The reason why I wanted to talk about this today was because how stupid do you have to be to fall for a catfish that's pretending to be Ronnie Radke? Like,
Yeah, especially considering how often he is online himself posting things. That's just wild.
and not to mention, let's go through this recent timeline. First of all, this Snapchat in question only has like 100 views. Ronnie Radke gets millions of views. So there's that. If he had a Snapchat, everybody would be flocking to it. Okay? So there's that. Also the fact that Ronnie Radke recently announced he was with this other girl and has made posts about her. I don't even know her name, his new girlfriend. I don't know her name. But she was also featured in the new music video, which we're going to get into as well. But just how stupid do you have to be to fall for a catfish of Ronnie Radke?
Yeah, and on Snapchat of all places.
Yeah, like, isn't Snapchat for, like, I don't know, children or something?
Yeah, all the Gen Zers out there.
So, anyway, but that kind of brings forward something else that I want to segue into that also has to do with Ronnie Radke is recently he just released a music video with Marilyn Manson called God is a Weapon. Absolutely phenomenal. If you haven't watched it yet, go and watch it. I love it. It's beautiful. And Manson is back and I love it. But we gotta talk about this too. All these crazy psycho women accusing people like Ronnie Radke or Marilyn Manson for sexual assault or whatever they're accusing them of. This has gotten way out of hand and it needs to stop. It just needs to stop.
Yeah, people get crazy.
Like everyone, I see it constantly too on TikTok. If you bring up Ronnie Radke or you bring up Marilyn Manson, it's like, I don't understand people that still like them because they're, you know, they're horrible to their women or whatever, or they did this or they did that. First of all, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. And second of all, no criminal charges have ever been brought against Marilyn Manson. Ever. Like, if he really did that to you, wouldn't you go to the police? You wouldn't do a civil suit. You would go to the police.
Yeah. It's crazy. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. So anybody saying that crap, I have both of these dudes' bands tattooed on me, so come at me, bro.
You're not to be messed with.
I'm not even playing, okay? Leave my men alone. Leave them alone. Okay, so enough about Marilyn Manson and Ronnie Radke, even though I could talk about those beautiful men all day, every day. Fight me. That being said, we're done with that topic, but we gotta talk about this Coldplay concert thing. So, Dolly, you saw it, right? The whole situation with the CEO and his HR woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Who hasn't seen it by this point? Like, the memes out there are insane.
Even Formula One is doing memes on it, and I am living for it. It is so funny. But to anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, and if you don't, you've been living under a rock, but do check it out. So the story is that there was a Coldplay concert happening. First of all, I'm not sure who still attends Coldplay concerts, but that's just me. Whatever. So I didn't even know they did kiss cams at concerts. I thought kiss cams were always like a sports thing, you know, like especially basketball or baseball, that kind of thing. But they had a kiss cam, okay, looking at a bunch of lovely couples having fun at this concert that I wouldn't pay $2 to attend. But anyways, one of the kiss cams goes over to this couple. They look like they're having a lovely time. He's behind her, holding her around her waist. And then all of a sudden they realize they're on camera, and he ducks out of the way like he's dodging bullets. And she just turns around and tries to not show her face. All I can say is, y'all messed up, because if you had just stayed like that, nobody would have said anything. Nobody would have been the wiser.
Right, yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, maybe they wouldn't have really been found out. I don't know. Unless people in the crowd happen to know them, because the guy is the CEO of some company, but I don't even know who he is, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't have recognized
him. It's pretty wild, but I don't know. The whole situation is just ridiculous.
Well, what's even sadder is, you know, people were coming out later and, you know, giving more information about who this guy is. And also, he's still married. Apparently, the HR woman, she's recently divorced. But the CEO guy, he's still married. So that was a really big thing. And I've actually seen some pictures of his wife. Can I just say, if you're going to cheat on your wife, at least do it with someone that looks better than your wife and not worse. Because this woman that he's married to is gorgeous. She's absolutely beautiful. I'm like, you're going to cheat on that with that?
Yeah.
Come on, at least make it worth it. I mean, who does that? Who does that?
I don't know. It just seems so ridiculous this day and age. I don't know. But the kiss cam thing, though, like, yeah, I didn't know that they did that at Coldplay concerts, but I guess because I saw somebody say, like, don't bring, you know, your side piece to a Coldplay concert because Coldplay is for the lovers. And I'm like, okay.
No. Let's not forget that dude was married to Gwyneth Paltrow, okay? I'm just saying, gross, but okay. I'm sorry. Everything I've heard about Gwyneth Paltrow in the last 10 to 15 years kind of creeps me out, so.
She is interesting for sure.
Yeah, didn't she bottle up the scent of her vagina or something and make it into a candle?
I heard that. I don't know how true that is.
Either way, that's just ugh. That's all I got. That's so gross. But anyways, this dude used to be married to her, so I don't know how much I would trust a Coldplay concert, but whatever. But yeah, the memes are killing me because now you have like the Philadelphia Phillies did it, you know, where they had their mascots were holding each other, went to the kiss cam. Oh no, it was hilarious.
Little Savannah bananas.
Yes, yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm dying. Even my own husband's living for it. He came home and he's like, "Did you hear about this whole CEO thing?" And I'm like, "Oh my God." You know it's big when he knows what's going on.
Right? Oh my gosh.
It's the funniest damn thing. But let's move on. So I need to know, Dahlia, I've been seeing these on my TikToks and it's driving me crazy. I kind of want to know what's going on with this, but at the same time, I'm scared. What is this whole Labubu thing?
So the Labubus have really taken off. Like, if you haven't seen this, anybody that's listening, I'm really surprised because it's everywhere, literally everywhere. There's even knockoffs of these things. They call them Lafufus, and they like are just, the Temu version of the originals. But basically, what they are is these like little created, like they're supposed to be like cute monsters, and they come as a keychain, so you could put them on your bag. But they are part of a blind box. So if you don't know what a blind box is, it's a specific store, but they will have a surprise box, and you don't know which one you're gonna get. It has like a side showing all of the different like colors or designs that you can get, and then usually there's like a special like limited edition mystery one, and then that one ends up, people resell it for tons of money. So what's crazy about these things is that they have really gone viral and taken off. Like, I kind of started getting into it before it like really hit, because my husband got into them after he came back from a trip, and I was like, oh, these are kind of cute, and he got one for my daughter. And then I saw that they were available at our local Pop Mart, and so I was like, oh well, I'm gonna get one. And I got one. It wasn't a big deal. Like, they were selling out kind of fast, but not at the rate that they are now, which is wild. So I bought two at the time, gave one to my other daughter, and then I have one on my purse. And then you can like dress them up and blah blah blah. Anyways, the whole thing is that people want certain colors because they're cute, and if they don't get the color the first try, then you kind of get this like addiction, like dopamine hit when you like open them and like maybe get the one you want. So that's the reason that makes them so popular, is that people are continuously buying them, and then the fact that certain ones are hard to get. And now, like, you whenever they become available online, like, they sell out like in a second, literally. Like, you can not even get them anymore. I've tried to go on and get like their newer colors, and I can't. Like, I log on, I'm good at buying stuff right when it goes on sale, like concert tickets, whatever, but like, I cannot get another Labubu for the life of me.
So I'm looking these up right now, and this is like nightmare fuel. Like, what is with the teeth?
I don't know.
Let me try to just, it looks like it's this little thing that its face looks like a human face with jagged, sharp teeth and a creepy little smile, and it's in this suit that looks like a bunny costume. Like, They said that Furbies were scary. I'm going to say that these are creepier. You know, these are
really creepy looking. I think the whole thing is that they're like creepy cute.
I'm not going to agree with creepy cute, but okay. Like, I can safely say I don't think I will be into Lububus anytime soon, but you do you, boo-boo.
Yeah, right.
You get your Lububus, boo-boo.
They're fun. You know, it's like a fun collectible thing. And some people, you know, obviously are super into it. And then there's people that are just like, what is this? So I get it. It's like with every trend thing, you either like it or you hate it. So.
Gotcha. All right. So moving on, we have to talk about this particular movie. And I'm going to not say the name until we have this first conversation, because Dahlia, you, little miss, you brought this movie to my attention, and we have to talk about how this actually happened. So Miss Dahlia the other day decides she wants to tell me that I have to watch this movie. And anybody that knows me knows I'm pretty set in my ways and the types of movies that I typically like. And this is not one of them. So she literally texted me nonstop trying to convince me to watch this particular movie. And I asked her what's it about, and she couldn't even tell me. So the movie in question is called K-Pop Demon Hunters. And finally, she convinces me to watch it. And damn it, I hate it when you're right. I really do. I hate it when you're right, Dahlia. I swear. This woman sometimes knows me better than I know myself. And I'm really pissed off about this.
Like, okay, I'm really pissed off. But I felt great about this, finally convincing you, because it took a lot of effort. And while it seems like it's totally out of the norm, it had so many elements to it that I feel like people can find nostalgia in and relate to, in a sense that I was like, okay, you can take it for what it's worth just at face value, but this is something you're actually going to like. And I don't listen to K-pop. I know you don't listen to K-pop. So I'm like, that part's going to be the hard part to get over. But there's got to be some similarities that I can relate this to get you to finally watch it. And I succeeded.
Oh, just wait until when we get into the actual discussion of the music, which is going to come at some point. I got things to say. Okay. But first, let's start talking about this movie. So first of all, I want to bring this up because since I watched this movie, I'm seeing things on TikTok now where people try to describe this movie but have a really hard time doing it. I don't know why they have such a hard time, and you were having the same problem trying to describe it to me. So
yeah.
I'm going to describe it. And I think I can actually describe it a lot better than everybody. Girl K-pop band. They are also demon hunters. Cool, right? We got that out of the way. Certain demons decide to make boy K-pop band to compete with girl K-pop band. And there you go. That's the basic premise of the movie. You can take it from there. I don't know why that was so hard for people to explain.
I don't know either, honestly. Like, when you say it like that, it's very simplistic.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the fact that there's so many more elements to it that it's like, you don't want to give it away. So you're trying to not give out too much information, but here's the basics.
Yeah. Well,
but also, like, it reminds me of this, and this is why you need to watch it.
And see, that information that I put out there is literally the basics in the beginning, that it doesn't give away the story. It doesn't give away where it's going. But we, just for the record, though, anybody who hasn't seen this and wants to see it at this point, you're going to get some spoilers. So if you do want to watch this movie, which we do highly suggest, if you haven't seen it, please fast forward to the next topic, which is I Know What You Did Last Summer, but we'll get into that later. But let's just break this down. So first off, I need to mention the one thing I didn't like about this movie was the animation. I don't like animation that's not fluid unless it's actual like claymation, which that's what it kind of reminded me of. Well, and my husband actually said it best. He said, it looks like Chicken Run on crystal meth. And I was like, maybe a little, I guess.
That's a bit extreme, but I mean, I get what he's saying. But I think that the animation is what makes it unique. Like the first, like, yeah, it's not like a typical kind of cartoon. Right. But when I watched it, I was like immediately like, oh my gosh, my daughter, who's very much into drawing and art and anime and all that stuff, she would love this because she loves animation style and all of that and how much a lot of them differ from each other, but look really unique and cool. So I was right. She loves this movie just as much. But the whole animation part of it, I think, is what makes it different from other popular cartoons.
Right. And I liked that about it. It was very, best way I could describe it is very like Barbie / Gem kind of cartoony, but mixed with anime, because yeah, it kind of switches off between, you know, having normal looking characters to the anime faces, which was funny. So I really like that. Can we talk about the scene though where they're scarfing their faces with all the food though?
I love that scene.
I'm just gonna say it though, the full sushi roll, that was a little much though.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a bit. It's hilarious, but it was yes, much.
Yeah, and then just their like general like faces when they're talking about the food and how excited they are, like I can relate.
And then the ramen thing, because anybody that knows me knows I love a good cup of ramen. So
yeah,
the fact that they're like, no one messes with my ramen, I'm like, yeah, no one messes with my ramen, I get it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was too funny. I'm going to save the music for like more towards the end of this conversation. But can we talk about that closet? That closet was ridiculous. You needed like,
yeah, I always see people talking about the closet too.
Yeah. I'm like, you need a ladder for the closet. Like what? Where's the ladder?
Like, where's the ladder?
So in the movie, she's got this closet with all these fabulous outfits, but they're stacked really, really high. And I'm like, there's no way you're going to be able to get down that outfit without a freaking ladder. It's crazy. But yeah. And then can we talk about the crying fanboys?
Hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious. There's this like trio of fanboys when they see the K-pop singers, and they're literally crying the entire time. And I think that is so funny because it reminds me of little 13-year-old me seeing NSYNC for the first time and literally crying because I thought Lance Bass pointed at me. Yeah, that was the thing. I don't regret it. I'm still sad he's gay. I'm not gonna deny that. It is what it is. But that's what it reminded me of. I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
They were intense for sure.
Yeah.
There was one in particular that he had like a different shirt on every time. Yeah. And he'd like rip it off. And then he like would be excited between both Huntrix and Saja Boys. So
yeah,
it was just funny to see him do that. And I've seen people be like, how many shirts does this guy have? And at the very end, he wears like a really interesting shirt. It's kind of like an Easter egg in a sense, I guess, but it says Guma on it, and it's like in Metallica writing at the very last scene. So somebody pointed that out, and I wouldn't have noticed otherwise, but I was like, oh my god, that's hilarious.
And speaking of Soulja Boy, this sounds really close to Soulja Boys or Soulja Boy, whatever. So that kind of threw me off when I watched it. But when they first introduce Soulja Boys on the scene, and the girls in Hendrix are literally crying popcorn, what the actual hell is that?
I don't understand that either.
What's really hilarious, my husband was kind of watching off and on with me on this one, and he saw that part, and he's like, I don't know why, but that is the funniest damn thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And especially when the other one's eating the popcorn as she's crying out the popcorn. It's the funniest thing, but I don't understand where the popcorn comes from. I don't get it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's also like a Korean thing. Maybe it's like a, I don't know. I don't really watch anything, you know, that like, there's like Korean soap operas and all of that stuff. And I'm sure they have plenty of their own animations, but I don't know. Maybe that's just like a theme they have. I don't know. You know, like how anime has
weird
certain, you know, funny moments or whatever, like the big tears like flowing out sort of thing and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe that's just part of it.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing to me, was the crying popcorn. I'm like, where does the popcorn fit in? I don't understand I don't get it. But okay, let's move on though. The demon tiger thing.
That, oh my god,
I want one.
So cool. Everybody calls him Derpy. I don't know that that's his real name, but that's what everybody calls him. And then the bird is called Sussy.
Sussy? Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm just like, why are these their names that sound so weird? But okay. But yes, the cat or tiger is amazing. The colors are so vibrant.
Yes.
Like, I love that they made him like stand out like by glowing. I don't know how to explain that really, but like just the colors were really, really cool for the animation for this tiger every time it would show up.
Yeah, very vibrant, very like you. What's crazy though, my husband missed him. I don't know how he missed him, but he missed him, because I said, I want that tiger, I want that cat, and he said, what tiger?
I'm like, how?
I'm like, how did you?
How was that missed?
Yeah, I'm like, I know you were kind of in and out watching it with me, like in and out, but for some reason he didn't notice the tiger. And the tiger was one of the funniest parts.
Right.
I'm like, how did you miss that? But anyways, that tiger, I love it. And just the fact that the guy's like, oh yeah, I made the hat for the bird. I made it for the tiger, but the bird keeps stealing it.
Yeah.
What?
So funny.
Oh my god, what? And then the part where they had both bands side by side signing autographs and they're fighting over that dude with the cast. I'm like, ow.
Yeah, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I'm like, that's kind of painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, what's the lead girl's name again? I'm horrible. You know, I'm horrible with names.
Romy,
yeah. The part where she is talking to the lead guy and she's like, excuse me, I'm everyone's type. I'm like, I just love that confidence.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I really, I've watched this movie several times now, so I see something different. I feel like every time. And then I'm one of those people that like dives deep into like all the lore of things. And so I like kind of go down the rabbit hole with that. So yeah. I'm just like, oh. And then I figure out more things about the characters and things like that, which I, in a sense, makes it better. but not everybody is that invested like I am.
Yeah. Well, and my hubby also mentioned this too. And I completely agree with him on this. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's very Scott Pilgrim-esque to me.
I don't even know who that is. Two slip-ups in one episode.
Okay, so seriously, Dahlia, you haven't seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I have not. I've heard of it, have not watched it.
I highly recommend it. It's really, really good. I've seen it probably 1,000 times. Okay, maybe not that many, but pretty close. But definitely a fun one. But yeah, my hubby thought this movie was kind of like an animated version of Scott Pilgrim a little bit. And I'm like, I kind of see it. It had like the quirkiness that Scott Pilgrim has. So I'm like, I kind of see it. But we have to talk about the music. So I didn't think I was going to like the music because, again, I do not like K-pop. I don't like most top 40 things either. So I didn't think I was going to like any of it. But some of it, shockingly, was not bad. In fact, I got a lot of certain vibes. Some of them were, I hate to say this, but Sleep Token vibes. I got
obsessed
vibes. I got lots of different vibes. Even
yes.
Machine Gun Kelly vibes.
Yeah.
It was weird. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I totally feel the same way. Whoever put together these songs, like, they knew what they were doing.
Right.
Because they basically created like a whole new fan base just off of these catchy songs of people that don't even listen to this type of music, which is wild. But like, yeah, they're so catchy. We listen to them all the time in the car. Like, it's my daughter's like request when we get in the car, can we listen to my favorite song? So we are listening to these songs and singing them, which is super fun. But I like that it kind of appeals to all ages as well, which is awesome. But yeah, I the songs are so good. And like, they're like, while this is considered like it's marketed as like a kids movie, it's very adult focused as well. So it has some like, it's not like scary, but it has like some violence and obviously demons in it. So, you know, if that's like not something you'd want to show your kids, like, without, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain that, but I felt like it was okay enough to show my 5-year-old, but right, other people might not want to. So it's kind of a show for all ages in a sense.
I agree. Cause aside from the whole demon thing, because let's be honest, that's the conflict in the movie, is the demons. So that being said, of course, you're going to see some kind of violence. But I will say the violence you see is not absolutely like it's not gory. It's not anything like that. It's just very more, I would even say, funny. But more than anything, for certain parents that don't want certain things or agendas in their movies that their kids are consuming, no wokeness whatsoever. There's none of that. So if you're a parent that's concerned about that, it's not there. Like there's no agenda. There's nothing. And it's kind of refreshing, actually, in my opinion.
It is. Yeah. I just want to watch a movie without anything like some hidden agenda in there.
Right. And
like that's hard to find nowadays, I feel like.
It really is. And that's why I appreciated this movie, because yeah, there was nothing like that. It was very straightforward. Like, this is the conflict, you know, this is what we're going to do about said conflict. No hidden agendas, just pure entertainment is what it was. And I really enjoyed that. So that being said, everybody, if you have not seen K-pop Demon Hunters, it is on Netflix. That's the only place you can get it, is Netflix. Highly recommend, especially if you have kids, watch it with your kids. Totally, totally a great movie. I will watch
it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
They literally are beating out actual K-pop artists on the music charts with their songs, which is crazy.
Well, to be honest, I'm not surprised about that. In fact, I think now is a good segue to talk about my only introduction to K-pop, which is kind of hilarious. I had moved about 5 years ago. Me and my husband moved to the state of Texas. I'm not going to mention what major city this was in, but we are close to a certain major city. And we decided to try out the local goth club. And I failed to look at the flyer that night, so we went. And for some reason, the entire night, all they were playing was K-pop. And I was like, what the is going on? You know, I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. I do not do K-pop. I don't know what this shit is. But I looked up the flyer. It turns out we went on K-pop night. And I was like, dang it. So
that is hilarious.
That was my one and only introduction to K-pop. And my hubby, he just laughs at me. He's like, you didn't look? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I didn't expect K-pop at a goth club. That was weird. But it is what it is. So, yeah, that was my only introduction to K-pop. But anyways, moving on, I just want to mention this. We're not going to do a whole deep dive into this, but I'm super excited, although I probably won't watch it in theaters. I will probably wait until it's on streaming because I'm a loser and I don't get out much anymore. But I Know What You Did Last Summer. Came out Friday, July 18th. I'm actually super excited for this movie, and I have not been excited for a movie in, like, years. So I just have to mention that. I'm super excited.
Yeah, we watched all of these movies when they first came out.
Yeah. Well, the first two. The third one doesn't count because...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you don't... The third one doesn't exist, as far as I'm
concerned. I honestly didn't even know there was a third one, so... But the first two I really liked, and I am not, like, a horror movie person. But I liked this movie and the Scream series. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, a couple other ones that I watched because there was certain actors in them that I liked. but that was about it. So I did like these movies. So I haven't honestly seen anything about this one coming out.
I will tell you
that. Yeah, like, tell me more about it. Does it have original cast members?
Yes, it does. That's okay. Why I'm excited about it, because that's my biggest pet peeve right now with Hollywood is just running out of ideas. But I'm thinking to myself, like, I have so many books on my bookshelf right now that they can make a movie into, and they don't do it, but whatever. Just my pet peeve. But they keep doing these reboots or these remakes. Like, they redid The Crow. That one pissed me off. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to see it. I boycott it. Not doing it. There's certain movies that should not be remade. I Know What You Did Last Summer is one of those movies, but this one is more or less a continuation. So you have Jennifer Love Hewitt coming back, and you have Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze Jr. actually came back to acting, because remember, he's retired. So he came back to acting just to reprise his role in I Know What You Did Last Summer, the new one. So I'm super excited about it.
Oh, that's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he came back to acting just to do this. And I'm like, yes!
Crazy.
Yeah. Obviously, Sarah Michelle Gellar won't be back because her character, spoiler alert, died in the first one. Which, you know, made me sad because I love Sarah Michelle Gellar. Huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. But what can you do? But I'm excited about it because, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun, I think, because yes, it's going to be like kind of what they're doing with the Screams. Lots of new characters, but but you got the old ones coming back and being like, hey, we've been through this before. We can help you.
Yeah.
All right. Now, before we get into this next topic, which will also be our final topic of the day, I have to let you guys know that Dahlia and I are absolute avid book readers. So every week you are going to get some insight into what books we're reading, and we will have recommendations, et cetera, et cetera. Now, just so you guys know, I'm really into dark romance, romanticy, fantasy, horror, and even some classics. Dahlia, what are you into?
I am also into romanticy, fantasy, and dark romance, but I do like, you know, a good romance book as well. So I've read plenty of those.
Okay, good times. So that being said, we're just going to kind of go into what we've been into this week. So I'm actually going to go through like 2 weeks worth of what I've been reading, because that's just how it's crumbled a bit. So I'm a weird person. I read about anywhere from 3 to 5 books at a time. Don't ask me why I do that. It's just, I need some variety in my life, I guess. So in the last 2 weeks, I just finished a book by the name of Sick Fucks, and that's F-U-X, by the way, just so you know. This is by Tilly Cole. Highly recommend it. It's a dark romance with, there is going to be some very dark features, including, you know, some essay, that kind of thing. So it is very dark, but it also has a very pleasant Alice in Wonderland theme that's kind of running throughout the entire book. And I absolutely love this book. I would give it probably 5 stars. And then I read Throne of the Fallen by Carrie Maniscalco. I hope I said her name right. That book was very good. Took me a while to get through, but it was very good. Think Bridgerton meets vampires, demons, and fairies. That's what that is. Caravelle by Stephanie Garber. I'm just going to say it. I was actually very nice, and I gave this book 3 stars. I might go back and give it a 1 star because I did not like it at all. I'm not going to even continue with the series. Normally, I don't like to leave series unread, but I'm not going to continue because it was boring. It was stupid. And the main character is absolutely insufferable. So I don't recommend it. Alina's Revenge by K.A. Knight. This is more just like a novella, very, you know, it's very short, but it's more or less if you want to get your fix in with some dark romance and a lot of spice. So there's that. And then Birthday Girl by Penelope Douglas. Anything Penelope Douglas does, I love. So not surprising. I gave that 1 of 5 because it's very good. This one is a bit taboo. We're talking age gap and boyfriend's dad thing. So, yeah, but it's still a fun one. And then Liar by Tate James. Now, this one is book 2 in this series. The first one is Hate, and the second one is Liar. And there's 2 other books. I highly recommend it, especially if you like reverse harem, if you catch my drift. So highly recommend that one. And then I'm currently reading When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker, The Fine Print by Lauren Asher, and Falling for 3 by Jade Wilkes. So those are my reads for the week.
Okay. Well, I just finished The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose, which is kind of like a murder mystery. It was pretty good. Like, it caught my attention. I think there was parts of it that, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading too much into, like, how people perceived this book. Like, afterwards, I don't know if you do this, but I'll rate it on Goodreads, and then I'll, like, read some of other people's comments on it, and there was a lot of people that did not like this book. So, I thought it was good. I thought it was captivating, but I would not say that it's a five star. She does have a follow-up book called The Perfect Divorce, so I might read it, but we'll see, because I have a whole bunch of other books, of course, that I'm reading, because I'm the same way. I read several books at a time. I'm usually at least reading three at a time. I'm very much a mood reader. I'll be in a mood for a certain type of book, and then others, I'm just like, I can't read this right now. I got to come back to it. So I finished that one, and then I also finished the first book of the Crescent City series, House of Earth and Blood by Sarah J. Maas. And that one was really, really good. It is a very large book, so it took a long time to get through.
Very large.
And there, this one also has like a lot of world building, which sometimes I struggle with, because I'm like, okay, I get you want to like create this whole scene, but at the same time, I need something to like, I don't know, propel me forward through this book. I don't know how better to describe that, but it did take a bit to like really capture my attention. So I was like kind of at that point where I'm like tapering off, but I'm like, no, I need to get through this book. I'm going to finish this book because I need to get through this series before the next ACOTAR comes out. So finish that one. And then I'm also reading Queen of Shadows from the Throne of Glass series, also by Sarah J. Maas. And that one is taking me forever. I've been reading this book for months now, and that's kind of crazy. This is like, what, a 7 or 8 book series? I can't remember exactly. And they're all large books, but for some reason, this book is just taking me a really long time. But other people that have read this series have told me this book is kind of hard to get through, but once you get through it, it gets really, really good. But I'm like, you guys, this is like book 5. Like, why am I struggling? So that's the other book. And then I'm also listening to Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez, which is a romance book. So kind of a whole bunch of different things going on there, but those are my current reads.
Now, question though, didn't you say you were reading Quicksilver by Callie Hart?
Oh, yes, I am also reading that book still. It's taking me a long time to get through that one also. I don't know why. I think because I'm just in like a certain, well, that one's also a big world building book. So it's taking a lot to build up to like actual meat of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, I see what you're trying to do here, but I need more substance right now.
Yeah. I feel the same way, because I'm reading, as I mentioned, I'm reading When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker. And this book, it's really big, and a lot of people have praised it, but I'm kind of in a slump where I'm still reading it, but there's so many different types of beings, you know, and they're not your typical fairy, you know, like fairy tale romance, whatever. So there's a lot of different things that they're adding in, like, oh, this kind of dragon looks like this, or this kind of person is this. And I'm like, can't we just do basic fae? Like, it's a lot to absorb. And yeah. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it at this point. I'm still reading it, but here we are. And I have to say too, the fine print, I feel like, I hate to say this, but so far I feel like a teenager's writing it. It's very, the main female character, she's very whimsical. Like, she works for a theme park very much like Disneyland, but it's called Dreamland. And she acts like, you know, she could be a character directly from one of these things. I don't know. It's really weird. And the CEO that runs it, who's the male love interest, of course, he's like this very Christian Grey type, but very stern. And, you know, so she's trying to loosen him up. It's weird. I don't know. So, yeah. But I'm still going to read it, because I can't DNF things. I cannot DNF things.
Oh, see, I have definitely DNF'd books. I'm just like, I can't. I've struggled through some, and others I'm just like, okay, I can't do this. I have other things, better books to read.
The only book I've ever DNF'd, and this one was actually fairly recent, was Ulysses, which I know is a classic, so don't come at me, but all I remember from what I have read of that book is a lot of talk about funerals and food. That's all I can remember. I can't piece together exactly what's happening in that book, and because it's written very old Irish English, and I can't grasp it, I guess. I don't know. But I had to stop that one. I could not continue on with that one at all. But all my books that are more dark romance, romanticy, all those, I tend to try to finish even if I don't like it. Like Caravelle, I tried to get through that one as quickly as possible because it was driving me crazy. But yeah, I don't recommend Caravelle. I can't stress that enough. It was not good.
So, what did you feel? Because I know that you finished the first Crescent City book.
Right.
So, what were your thoughts on that book?
Well, you were definitely right. It was a lot of world building. I did like about it that it was set in a world that is very similar to ours. They have cars, they have cell phones, they have, very much like the way we live, but with magic and creatures and different things. Like it was very I like that it was integrated with real world things. I take it you're not mad at Hunt anymore.
No, I was definitely texting you when things were coming up, and I was like, "What is going on? Oh my God, why? Blah blah blah." But yeah, no, I'm not.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I'm like, I'm not saying nothing. Like, because just so you guys know, I've actually read two of the Crescent City books. I've read the first one and the second one. So she's only read the first one, and I have yet to read the third one. This is a three book series, and each book is very large. And all I'm going to say about that, my dear Dahlia, is that when you get to the second book, there's a huge surprise at the end that you're going to be like, what? And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I can't wait. I actually did just start the very beginning of the next book.
Okay, so hopefully you'll get through that and we can discuss it. And then hopefully we can both read the third one within a timely manner. I don't know how long it's going to take Sarah J. Maas to write the sixth ACOTAR book, but all I can say is I don't think I'm going to get through the Throne of Glass series and this series all before she releases it. I got two more
Well,
books.
I don't think Throne of Glass ties in, so that should be fine. But everybody says that you should read all three Crescent Cities before reading the next ACOTAR.
I can already tell you it definitely ties in. I'm not
Oh,
gonna tell
really?
you
You
how.
think so?
I'm not gonna tell you how, but I can tell
Oh.
you I think it does.
Dang. Okay. Well, I still have like four books of Throne of Glass to read,
No,
which
not
is
Throne of Glass, Crescent City.
crazy.
I want to be clear. Crescent City.
Oh, okay.
Only. I don't know anything
Oh, okay,
about
yeah.
Throne of Glass, so.
Throne of Glass, good. And everybody I've talked to that has read the entire series talks about how incredible this series was and that they wish they could read it again. Like, they're jealous of people that read it for the first time. And I'm like, okay, but how do you get through this book? It's taking me so long. Like, I get the appeal. I do. I love the main character, but there's just so much going on and so much world building in this series that I'm just, even in five books, and I'm just like, oh my God. But I need to get through it because I know it gets really, really good.
Right. Well, definitely keep us posted about that. I'm hoping to get into those fairly soon, but I probably won't until I finish with Crescent City. So we'll kind of keep you all posted on our readings from there. So you're going to get a lot of book recs from us coming up. But I think that covers about everything we had this week. So that'll do it for the first episode of Spilling the Tea with the Ladies. We will be releasing an episode once a week, usually on Sundays, so please be sure to tune in next week.
That's right. And remember, we are both on Instagram and TikTok, so be sure to check us out there. I don't have like official accounts for this in particular, but I do have an Instagram for my other small business that I hand make things for. It's called Gadabout Couture, and I post a lot of stuff on there, like not just business related. So you can follow me on there. And then my TikTok handle is Such a Simple Life, and I post all sorts of stuff on there as well.
Yep. And my Instagram handle is Designer Goth Adventures, which is also the same as my TikTok handle. Also, Designer Goth Adventures. I do tend to do a lot of lives on my TikTok as well as post a lot there. Lately, I have been a little bad about posting, but I'm trying to get better at that. So there is that. Definitely look us up on Instagram and TikTok.
You can also email us if you would like us to cover topics, have any book recommendations, or just want us to give you a shout out.
That's right. Our email address is spillingteawiththeladies@outlook.com. Again, that's spillingteawiththeladies@outlook.com. Into Spilling the Tea.
Thank you all for joining us on our first episode. I'm Lady Dahlia.
And I'm Lady Lily. Be sure to join us next week if you want the tea. And thank you again for tuning into Spilling the Tea with the Ladies.